You ever been discouraged? Mm-hmm. Don't answer that. I already know the answer. You know, but it is part of our discipline to go through darkness. I started my intro on Wednesday, and I highly light on that one because I'm not going to preach to you in length, but I won't give you what God has given me because of what I've gone through or am going through. But let's pray, and we'll trust God for the blessing. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, and Holy Spirit, I am thankful for today that we are together as a family. I am thankful that you are here, but I pray for your preeminence to be in all. That Father, you, Holy Spirit, would you take over the message? Would you preach what you want to say? Would you, again, touch the hearts the way you want to touch the hearts? And I pray that at the end of all things said, Father, we come to understand that you are our sufficiency. You are everything we need and nothing less than that. May you bless now this time and just give us the strength and the understanding, Father, of your will to be accomplished. And I really pray that you, Father, would be glorified, that you would be praised, you would be honored in all things said and done. Bless now this time. Bless the service in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Go with me to the second letter of Paul in Corinthians. And we're going to be in chapter 1. And we'll end up in chapter 3. We're not reading all 3. I'm just going to highlight some points that have touched my heart and has helped me. Because, you know, again, sometimes in life when we come to a time of darkness, when the light goes out and nothing seems to make sense, those are not easy times. And you know, sometimes we do go through darkness. Sometimes, you know, we just can't see the way ahead. It just doesn't make no sense of what's going on. But, you know, we're plunged into this deep perplexity and despair, and we're always asking why. You know, and why has this happened? You know, why is really not the question, because God has the answer. But the question should be how, right? Because how are we to react when sometimes we feel like we can't bear up with the situation? We're just not sure of what to do. God gives us the answer. But Paul was going through this as a quick background. In his second part of his missionary trip, he's discouraged. He's perplexed. He is going through a hard time because here's a church that fell apart. You know, all of a sudden you got a feminist movement going through the whole church. You have a lot of problems that are happening. You got people that are hating him. You got some of the lost people now trying to take over the church and trying to rule over everything that he's done for the grace and mercy of Christ. Mm-hmm. The foundation was kind of shattered for a purpose. So God had to work with this. So one of the things that I'm impressed is how he handled the situation. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times, you know, the why gets us to an anger. A why gets us to the negativity. A why gets us to the press of disorders and the anxieties that we go through. And we're not sure of how to handle what God is putting right before us. So God teaches us something through Paul. Listen to these first 9 verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Blessed be God, even the God of our Father, or the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, mm-hmm. who comforteth us in all tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye also be of the consolation. 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, and as much that we, the spirit even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead.
Amen. Amen.
Yep. Have you ever been in a situation there was a dead end, and you knew there was no way that that was going to change, it was going to happen? God says there's a will and a way there. You know, and sometimes in our own understanding, we're like, God, I can't take this no more. I just don't know which way to go. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of running, you know, empty. I'm tired of, you know, looking for love in all the wrong places. I'm tired. I'm just sick and tired of everything, and I just don't know what else to do. That's a dead end. You know, could be in your marriage, could be with your children, could be with your family, your friends, with your church members. It could be anywhere. It could be at your job, and you're not sure anymore what to say and what to do. Paul gives us the answer. He comes out and he says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Amen. Now he's answering a church with love and mercy. He's answering a church that is destroyed with grace and peace. And so you got to understand that he's given the encouragement to understand that sometimes we have to go through darkness. The church might go through its problems, but my friend, the end result is in Christ. And the question is, do you believe in that? And do you believe that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him? And you must realize that if God is in it, right? Because here's the point that I got this morning. I said, God gave us promises, right? He gave us promises. It's not to be questioned, right? It's not to go and think that you have to, you know, why God, why me? He gave you the promises. Read your Bible. It's clear and concise what God says. He's a God of all comfort who comforts us in all tribulation that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Amen. Think about this. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. What a promise we have in Christ. Amen. And so he gives us these instructions and he tells us about this. So last week we talked about it. Go real quickly with me to Isaiah chapter 50. I'll show you the blessing here of this, and I'll try to make it very simple because I want you to get the blessing and understand what's going on here because it's important. In chapter 50, verse 10 and 11, he's speaking to his people because he's given a bill of divorcement. He's angry at his people that should have had a faith that is unwavering, but they're wavering. And so here's key. Who among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of a servant, that walketh in darkness, that's your trial, and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God.
Amen.
Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, in the sparks that you have kindled. This shall ye have of my hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Mm-hmm. What a contrast of what God is saying. You know, one of the things that I really, you know, appreciate is that, you know, we can be like Job and say, God, you owe me an answer. And he said, no, my Redeemer lives.
Amen.
You know, and I'm going to come forth as gold. Job knew this. And a lot of times we're stuck in our own understanding and we're trying to get it. But, you know, Scott Wesley said this, you know, when answers aren't enough, there's Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Think about this. He is more than just an answer to your prayer. And your heart will find a safe and peaceful refuge. When answers aren't enough, he is there. He is there. Sometimes God may put you in darkness and you'll learn that even without answers, he's enough.
Amen.
He's enough for you. And God is that good. But we have to be able to stay and be focused in the things because some things are seen in the dark that cannot be seen in the light. Think about this. The Bible says in Isaiah 45:3, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by name, am the God of Israel.
Amen.
In your darkness, he's going to bless you. In your challenges, in your trials and tribulations, and in all that you're going through, the Bible says that some things are seen in the dark that cannot be seen in the light. And my friend, if you really look at this, the stars that hang like chandeliers in the velvet canopy of space are only seen in darkness. Think about this. Stars don't come out at night. They're there all the time. Sometimes on the darkest night, the stars seem to be the brightest. And my friend, in the daylight, you may not see them, but they're still bright. And you know, think about it this way. You know, sometimes on the darkest nights, the stars seem the brightest. In the daylight, we may think, right, the brightest thoughts, but at night, we may think the deepest thoughts. That's when you stop, when everything is done, when you're shut down, there's no one. Listen, you're not talking to your husband, your child, or nobody. It's you and God before you close your eyes and go to bed. That's your most profound moment between you and God. Because that's you and him. There's no one else there. No one else is speaking but him and you. And this is important to understand. I mean, when you look at this and you understand what's happening, go back to 2 Corinthians. I'll show you. You know, because if that is true, and the Bible tells me in verse 4, who comforteth us in all tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith ourselves are comforted of God. Do you know that in the darkest moments of your life is the best times you shine? That's your brightest moment when you're walking, right? Isn't it interesting that David, you know, even though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I fear no evil because thou art with me. Thy comfort and thy staff, thy staff comforts me, right? It's his promise. And you got to understand that even though you might be going through something, you got to understand that some things are seen in the dark that cannot be seen in the light. And you got to go through that. You have to understand that that pain, that sorrow, that challenge is for a reason. And Paul goes and says in verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounded by Christ. So family, if we have this blessing and we understand what God is doing for us in this matter, we'll see it. Because if you go back to verse 10 of Isaiah 50, it says, who among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of a servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? My friend, the answer is clear. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. And you see, that's your brightest moment. You might be walking through something. You might be feeling something. You might not understand the whys these things are going on in my life. But you know what? When you start to walk according to the precepts and the statutes of the Lord, and you understand that when you trust in the Lord with all your heart and not lean onto your own understanding, God is going to direct you because your focus, your understanding, everything is on him, even though you don't get it, even though you don't understand it. You know, when a wife and a husband has a division, my friend, the best thing to do is to love one another, because the Bible says that love covers a multitude of sin. Grace and mercy. Paul said, for the same comfort that I gave you, say Jesus Christ, you can give to your partner. You can give it to your partner. You don't have to be in division. You don't have to be in arguments. It's the same thing with a brother and sister in the Lord in your church. You don't have to be in division. That's your choice. That's your choice. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and in due time, he'll lift you up. Let's realize that we got to do things a little bit different. This is why we're praying more. This is why we're getting into fasting more. It's a collective matter. That it's, listen, it's about all church life matters, right? It's about us. It's about a family. It's about staying together. Listen, it's been sad enough that our church has been flipped upside down, but Paul, just like Jesus Christ, tells us that, listen, God is willing to comfort you, so comfort one another in these trials. Amen. So what are we doing? We get together, we pray, we humble ourselves, we ask God for wisdom, because we don't understand why we're still here. Listen, if this church is still open now, it's because God has been in it all along, and you just cannot see what God is doing. And so, my friend, we're still running because God is good. God is faithful. In the midst of all that you see here, things are shining. Things are happening. Listen, the other point is, it is better to lean on God in darkness than to stand alone in a man-made light. Back in Isaiah 50, verse 11, here's what this means. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire. Think about what it's saying here. That compass yourself about with sparks. Walk in the light of your fire, in the spark that you have kindled. This shall ye have of my hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. Understand that God gives us very important relationships. Listen, one of the things that you can understand is this. You cannot look at a sundial with a flashlight and tell the correct time. Amen? Right? If we light our own fire and walk in that light, we just ultimately are going to lie down in sorrow. Yeah. Think about it this way. Abraham, he kindles his own fire after receiving God's promise of a son. Tired of waiting. Did you get it? Tired of waiting, he produced Ishmael. And we still have that problem to this day. That's kindling your own fire. Moses received God's promise, took things upon his own hand, became a murderer, and set God's work back 40 years. In Exodus chapter 17, God says, you know, to smite the rock, I think, if I might say it wrong, but I'm gonna get clear this up in a minute. But that he gives us clarity back in the second point when he says to tell the rock, right? In Numbers chapter 8, and what does he do? He smites it twice. He was angry. What happens with that? He never crossed to the promised land, right? Because, again, he did that which was right in his own eyes. Simon Peter boasted that he would follow Jesus even to death. You know, then came the dark Gethsemane, and Peter did not understand his own stupidity, but what happens? He cuts the priest's ear off. What an embarrassment to the cause of Christ. Just soon right after that, he denied him three times. What a challenge to have, huh? Listen, in a time of darkness, don't create your own man-made light, especially as a Christian. Don't try to do that which is right in your own eyes and expect an answer. That's insanity. That's all that is. You cannot continue to do what is right. You know, when I look at this scripture and I understand what's going on and I know what the Lord is trying to do for me, he gives us these joys. Right? Want to hear a little joke? Give you a couple of jokes. I'm gonna change the shift. I'm gonna do a paradigm shift for you because I know you guys are too serious. All right. Why wouldn't the Pharaoh let the Hebrews go? He was in denial. What is the salesman's favorite scripture passage? The Great Commission. Oh, come on, guys. I'm just trying to cheer you up, man. What is the missionary's favorite kind of car? Convert. Nah. Why Moses considered the biggest rebel in the Bible? He broke all the Ten Commandments. Got it? Broke all the Ten Commandments. Yeah. Didn't get that? That was too quick. What do they call pastors in Germany? German shepherds. Come on, guys. Listen, get a couple more. Why is the Swiss considered the most religious type of cheese?
Because it's holy.
Because it's holy. Hey, we got one. We're getting there. So, who is the patron saint of poverty? Saint Nicholas. Back to the program. This one, listen, the reason why I say a joke is because you got to understand the Bible says it this way in Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth like bones. And you got to know the difference. You got to understand what God is trying to do with us. Sometimes the paradigm shift is trusting God. You know, when we look at all this and we understand in this chapter, there's scandals, immoralities, irregularities that are creeping up in this church. So Paul takes this look into this faithful church and says, you know what, let me re-encourage you. Because remember, at the end of all these things, you know what, you're going to be blessed. They were. They repented. Look in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. Look in chapter 4. Look at this, because this is really cool. I love the way Paul puts it together. Paul being so discouraged unto death. That's how he had a clinical depression. That's what he was going through. And he goes on to say from verse 7 through 13, but we have this treasure in earthly vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of myself and not of God. Is that what it says? May be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. But we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe and therefore I have spoken, we also believe and therefore speak. Do we? Here's the question. Paul is saying, I'm going to encourage you to let you know that even though this here, listen, I know that our trouble which came to us, we were pressed out of measure above strength and as much that we were despaired even unto life. And he knew how hard this situation was. But yet he found himself in a blessing. He found himself going to the God of comfort, the God who was willing, the God who's able. I mean, when I look at this and I look at chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians, I see that forgiveness is being spoken of between 5 and 11. And I see the blessings that we have again of what God is saying. Think about how God is trying to teach us. Go to chapter 2, verse 14. Chapter 2, verse 14. Yes, thank you. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to what? Triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet Savior of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are Savior of death unto death, and to the other the Savior unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. And my friends, you got to understand what God is trying to give us here, because the whole point for us to have today in this verse is and understand that darkness has a problem. There's a problem to either neglect it, reject, because you know brokenness will either lead you to salvation or bring you to resentment. Mm-hmm. Which brings you to pain, which brings you to problems, which brings you to sorrow. You have a choice. You have a choice on how you want to handle the situation, and you have a choice on how to glorify God. But it's up to you. At the end of the day, remember, once we die, all of this is going to come to naught, because every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess, and you will go before the Lord, and God is going to present it to you the same way we're talking about it here. And you, how are you going to answer that then? How will you answer the Lord then? This is not about me. This is not about you and me. This is about you and Christ. And at the end of the day, you have a responsibility, because even if you're in this darkness that God has brought before you, man, thank the Lord he's working with you. Amen. He's in it to win it with you, but you got to be able to see it, because the Apostle Paul gives us instructions. Listen, he understands that the faith and salvation of the Corinthians were sufficient testimony of his divine mission. He knew what was going on. Listen, we understand what God is trying to tell us. Go to chapter 3. Let me show you where I'm going to go with this whole thing, because this is where the blessing comes into play. When God speaks to us, he gives us instructions. And the instructions are for us to understand the whys, right? So now, all of a sudden, he goes and he tells us this in verse 4 through 6. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of who? God. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So when God has given us instructions, he's given us an understanding that the only sufficiency in this moment is Christ. Is he sufficient to you? Is he everything that you need? Is he the one that you're looking for? Because if that's not the case, then we're not going to get a family. And God has given us instructions. He's given us everything that we need. And the question will always be, what do you answer Christ, who is the one, who is the Savior, who is everything? I mean, when I look at this and I understand what God is doing for me, I understand that, listen, if your sun has set, be sure morning will come. Your dark night will come to an end. You got to understand the blessings here. God will turn every hurt into a hallelujah, every tear into a pearl. Your Calvary one day will be an Easter. God has promised us that. Listen, it was a dark night for the disciples when Jesus was nailed at the cross and hung there. 3 hours of literal darkness, and it all seemed so black and so ugly. And the kingdom of God was shrunken into just a simple grave. But then came the morning. Mm-hmm. And on that third day when Jesus rose up again, praise the Lord, man, the light came and he says, I am the way. Amen. And let me tell you something. It might have been, the Bible says, unto the upright, there ariseth light in darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. That's our God. That's our King of Kings, my friend. Bible says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And God gives you that. And he gives you the blessing. So remember this, that even though you might be walking through the valley in the shadow of death, know one thing, that the God who's leading us through this will be always with us through the whole thing.
Amen.
Listen, one day, Jesus will pull back the shades of night and pin them to the star. He will open up the door of morning, a flood, and your world is going to be full of sunshine. God has promised you that. You know, the Bible says in Psalms 139:12, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. What a promise we have from him. Listen, so God sees through the dark and he understands us and he knows what he's saying. So I go back to this point in chapter 3 of Corinthians, and I ask you this question, because either you do or you don't is the whole point. It says here, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. So I ask you today, you know, in your trial and your tribulation and your challenge and your sorrow and your pain and everything that you're going through, is he sufficient for you? Mm. Has he been sufficient for you? Oh, will he be sufficient? Amen. Yes. Amen. The Bible, when I go through all this and I understand these verses and I know what God is saying, that everything in him is yea. Yes, it is. God is and God will be. And when I understand that he's sufficient for everything and he's always going to be there, then, my friend, I have one responsibility. It's this new covenant that he's talking about here. He says, who also have made us able. Oh, but God, I don't have the words. I don't know what to say. I'm not sure. Lord, I don't have the time. I don't have. God says he's made you able. You believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
Okay, God, you heard that. All right? I'll hold you to that one. He says, able, right, as ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. Yeah. Now, here's where the Bible talks about the New Covenant. Go to Matthew chapter 26. Excuse me. I lose my voice after preaching a little bit here. So forgive me if I'm in a coughing frenzy. Here's the New Testament, verse 28. I'm going to go to 27 just so that you hear it. And he took up the cup and he gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for remissions of sin. That's the new covenant. That's the new blessings. The Bible says that after the same manner, he also took the cup, and we had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood. This ye do as oft as ye drink in remembrance of me. And my friends, you are able. You're able. So the question is, what does it mean to be sufficient? Go with me to John 15. John chapter 15. And look at the way the Lord puts it here. Because I love what God says. And in verse 5, the Lord gives us this instruction. And he says, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You're able. And you see, when the Bible gives us this instructions, and he tells us this, he says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is his purpose on this. Christ's sufficiency means, by implication, that we are insufficient of ourselves. Indeed, the scripture says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. There is the power. There is the power that we need, the truth. Without Christ, we are inadequate. We lack wisdom. We have no strength. We can't accomplish ministry. My friend, there is so much insufficiency outside of the Lord. And the Bible is telling me that I'm able, and I'm telling him that I'm disabled. And God is saying, no, you're not. No, you're not. You have an ability. You have victories. And my friend, if he's promised us to be the head and not the tail, then why are we still dragging it? Why are we still running behind when God is saying you're able to move forward and give me the victories that I promised you from the kingdom that I brought? Amen. And so we have purposes. And we have reasons that God has given us for this. So I ask you, listen, the frightening thing is that we can be saved and have Christ in us and still not take advantage of his power, you know, and the abilities that we could have. Really, it is. You know, when I look at this, do we merely need God to help us as if we are combining our strength with his? Really? You know what I'm saying? Think about it for a moment. You know, Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. No, trust in him.
Yes.
Trusting him. Keep it in him. Instead of wondering about, you know, as fools in a flurry of vain self-efforts, we should trust God to make every path straight, you know, and walk by a faith of obedience and humility. That's what God is asking us in this year. When I look back at the promises that he's made, he's saying that he's sufficient, you know, and he's saying, for this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's a promise. And God gives us this. And so he says, go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verses 11 and 12. Brother says this, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me. Amen? For he has counted me faithful, putting me into ministry, who was before a blasphemer and persecutor and injurious, but obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Isn't this a wonderful thing? Here's a Paul telling us who he was, but yet who he is. And so we have this blessing, and we have this anointing. And so the question is, what do we do with what God is saying? How do we take and look at this whole thing and understand what God has given us? Do you really believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him?
Amen.
Do you really believe that God has given us this? Listen, so I go on not working, I would not know if I might. I would rather walk with Christ in the dark than walk alone in the light. Let me give you an understanding of what this all means. You know, I've been going through some stuff that, you know, I've got my attention, and I look at Paul and how he's handling it, and it gives me the encouragement that I'm able to handle it the same way. I have the strength, because in Christ all things are possible.
Amen.
And I ask you the same thing. Where's your faith where you're at right now? How do you walk by faith in darkness? How do you take God's promises, because it's about his promises, right? And that's what he's given us. God doesn't have to show you any much more than what he's already written. And you just got to take it by faith because it's a promise. But you got to know that he's loving you. Listen, God sees through the dark. And you got to understand that his eyes are upon you in darkness. Do you believe that? Let me close with this. And I want you to think about this carefully. Listen to this. Little girl's mother had died. First night apart from her mother, she felt alone in darkness of her bedroom and left in to sleep with her father. They tried to sleep, but unable to see her father's face, the little girl said, "Daddy, is it so dark? Is your face toward me?" "Yes, darling, my face is toward you. Daddy, you love me through the dark, don't you?" "Yes, sweetheart, Daddy loves you through the dark." And the little girl drifted off to sleep. The strong man slipped out of the bed, fell on his knees and prayed, "Heavenly Father, it is so dark. Is your face toward me?" And an answer came from heaven. Say, "Yes, my child. My face is toward you. Father, do you love me through the dark?" And God said, "Yes, my child. I love you through the darkest night." The father joined his precious daughter, and they both fell asleep. Mm-hmm. That's the goodness of God. Mm-hmm. That's the mercies of God. That's what Paul was talking about. That's the comfort that God talks about. Mm-hmm. And you have the same comfort, but maybe you have missed that blessing, and you have missed the opportunity of what God is saying to you. Maybe today God can get it right, right, in your heart, because you're saying yes now to the Lord. I pray that that would be the case, because He's so precious and he's so good. And he deserves mercy. I mean, he deserves praise and honor as much as he's given us mercy and grace. That's what this is all about. Let's bow our heads and close your eyes.